You're listening to the Witchy Wit Podcast, Episode 3, Samhain. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Witchy Wit Podcast, where we look at life through a witchy lens. I'm Kimberlyn.
I'm Leilani.
At Witchy Wit, we explore current events,
ideas,
music and books,
and experiences in ways that recognize energy and life in everybody and everything.
We are both real witches.
And we bring two real perspectives through the lens of our different ages,
races,
and backgrounds.
With a healthy skepticism for what we have been told is true, our conversations are raw, candid, and vulnerable.
Join us as we cast a spell to uncover what we each know is true in our intuitive, witchy selves. Welcome, 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 everyone. We're so glad to be here today. We are going to be talking about Samhain. But before we do that, I wanted to take a moment and just check in and see what's going on outside of the witchy circle. So, Kimberlyn, what's going on?
Well, actually, this is a part of the witchy circle, I suppose. I got together with a group of friends on Saturday, and we had a ritual. We just did it. It was more of a trance. It wasn't a full-blown ritual. But in it, we were envisioning the world the way we'd like it to be, and particularly pre-election. And so the parts that I contributed were about, you know, the idea of envisioning a world in which everyone can expect civility and compassion. And it was, I thought it was really powerful, but the part that I could barely get through that I got choked up on and I had to stop over and over again was another part I contributed to. And I was asking everyone to envision a world in which we lived up to our founding documents, like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and, you know, the idea of unalienable rights. And then this is the part that chokes me up. This is, I guess, the end of the Pledge of Allegiance with liberty and justice for all. And so that was that. I've been thinking about that a lot and thinking about how I can continue to keep that before me and let that be a part of my practice, at not just up going up through the election, but just, you know, trying to keep that as a part of my practice, because I think I really feel strongly that individually, as we elevate our vibration, that we help raise the vibration of the world around us. So that's what I did this weekend.
That's I just think that the sacred is mundane and the mundane is sacred, mm-hmm. and the act of voting is a sacred act.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. And I mean, anything can be a sacred act, right? And so it's we lend it that sacred aspect. And I mean, it's in it inherently, but we acknowledge it, I guess. And yeah. It's a wonderful feeling, and it got me out of a little bit of depression about things that are going on. And it gave me hope that I can contribute to raising the discourse level, et cetera.
I've seen so much around political involvement mm-hmm, in mm-hmm. my witchy groups mm-hmm. that are on social media.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. Like mainly just talking about it or creating things around it?
Talking about it, rituals that are being mm-hmm, done, mm-hmm. individual magic that's being mm-hmm. done. There was that whole thing on TikTok, the mm-hmm. witch talk.
Yes. I have to admit, I didn't see it, but I've heard a lot about it.
Which I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
you've heard about it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Oh, and it's funny because I heard it from people who didn't know that I was a witch, but they were just sharing that with me. Like, oh yeah, you might be interested in this. So I guess there's part of me that's bleeding through as witchy.
People, they're sensing it.
Yeah.
And I had someone reach out to me about it, and they were like, did you know about this? Mm-hmm. Or what do you think about this going on with mm-hmm. on witch talk? And I was like, that's not happening. I don't know what you're talking about. And then they sent me all this stuff, and I was like, oh.
Whoa.
Well, I'm a millennial. I'm not on TikTok.
Oh, millennial.
I'm too
you
old. I'm too old for TikTok.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. I'm too old.
I'm too old for TikTok.
Oh. Wow. I never thought. I think everyone who's younger than me, like, are so cool and et cetera. And I didn't realize that there were things that you feel like you've aged out of.
I have.
Whoa. Okay. Thank you. That's good
there
to
we
know.
Go.
A little bit of perspective for me. Thank you. So what about you? What have you been up to?
So I wanted to bring up are yours and mine, mm-hmm. Samhain planning for ritual planning. So both of our check-ins are about witchy things. But you know what? It's October. It's witchy month.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just to give some backstory, we planned a ritual mm-hmm. for Samhain for our circle. Mm-hmm. And just some backstory here. I would say our planning didn't have the best of circumstances.
Yeah.
In that we, mm-hmm. it was kind of, there's some things that happened, you know, COVID, mm-hmm. miscommunications. Mm-hmm. But what I really love is that once we figured out mm-hmm. that our Samhain ritual was 5 days away or 6 days away.
Yeah.
That, some background for me as a ritual planner, I plan rituals months in advance.
Months in advance. I was going to say that if you did.
My reputation precedes me with our circle. Uh-huh. But so normally I do. I plan it months in advance, mm-hmm. and then I start negotiating with the sacred months mm-hmm. before I start planning. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'll start getting messages and mm-hmm. being told mm-hmm. through the way I feel what the ritual is supposed to be about months in advance, so that we can plan months in advance.
Right.
And blah 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 blah.
So let me ask you. So for if you had been like when we planned this last year, who was mm-hmm. going to do which ritual? If you knew at the beginning of the year that you were going to be doing Samhain, about when in like month wise would you start getting these messages?
So I have Beltane, this upcoming mm-hmm, year, mm-hmm. and I already have gotten messages about what Beltane is supposed to be. So wow. How many months in advance is that?
Yeah, something like 7 or 8. No, 8.
Yeah.
8 or 9.
Yeah. So.
Okay. There we go.
It starts coming to me mm-hmm. and then I sit with it because mm-hmm. normally the negotiation goes, I get told mm-hmm. and then I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I'm like, that crosses the line or that's not whatever, you know, we negotiate, but normally mm-hmm. they, you know, the mm-hmm. sacred wins. Mm-hmm. And this is
as it should be.
Right. Right. So whenever we started working on Samhain, mm-hmm. It makes sense why I've been mm-hmm. dreaming mm-hmm. About altar building.
Okay.
And so then when our text message exchange went down, the text message exchange went something like, hey, are you planning Samhain? And then my response was, no, tell me why you're asking because I'm already freaking out. But then whenever you were like, okay, so what should it be about? I was like, altar building.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I knew because that's why, now I know why I've been having these dreams.
So you've actually, even though you didn't know you were planning Samhain, you actually started getting messages.
I did.
Because the sacred knew.
Right. They're like, hey, hey, you're supposed to be planning it. I'm telling you what it's supposed to, hello.
And you're like, I wonder why I'm getting all these messages about altars.
Someone else is planning that.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's magic. That's really magical.
It is magical. It is magical. Mm-hmm. But what I loved was that you and I, we've worked together for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like at least 10 years priestessing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we've been in circle together for mm-hmm. longer than that.
Yeah.
But like we were just able to come together and like open up a Google, mm-hmm. holy sacred Google Docs.
Now, meanwhile, let's make this clear. I believe at this point I'm in the car driving somewhere.
Yeah, you're going to get plants.
Yes, I'm going to get plants.
And I'm sitting in my in my bathrobe at the kitchen table with holy sacred Google Docs open. And we plan, and what I love is that we planned a beautiful ritual mm-hmm. that's very complex and sacred mm-hmm. and done over Zoom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, that's the extra layer to all of this mm-hmm. is that we have to plan something that will work over mm-hmm. Zoom. Yeah, yeah.
And the idea of doing a ritual over Zoom that is not just taking what we do normally in person mm-hmm. and then trying to like jam it into mm-hmm. this space of Zoom, but instead mm-hmm. saying, well, what can we do with Zoom that we couldn't do in person? And then like coming up with something so beautiful
and
it just flowed between you and me. And ritual planning is not always that easy, mm-hmm. but I love working with you and planning with you.
It really did flow and it was so exciting for me. And I think in this case, not having months to plan actually relaxed me mm-hmm. because it was, you know, this is what it is. So let's see what we can do with what it is. And if I do say so myself, I think this is our Samhain ritual. It's not actually on Samhain, but it's going to be in it this week. And so I thought, you know, in 6 days, this, I mean, what we did is going to be brilliant. And if people didn't know in advance, and some of them may not, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. They would just think, wow, they've been planning this for months. Except now they're going, no, they won't hear this until after the ritual.
They won't hear that this will not air until after our ritual.
So cool. So we're talking about how we're talking about Samhain, mm-hmm. and one of the things that people ask is, what is Samhain? And obviously, it's a pagan Sabbath. It's a pagan a holy day, but we kind of know it on a certain level in popular parlance as Halloween, and so I thought maybe we'd get started talking a little bit about. Why, about the connection. You want to get us started?
Yeah. So for me, one of the things I think about is this is the one time of the year, the month where I feel seen in our culture because yeah. there are images of brooms and cauldrons and even, and witch hats and magical, you know, books of spells. And,
yes, yes.
And while they are somewhat like kitsch mm-hmm. in around the Halloween time, it feels to me like, I'm being recognized and seen, even if it is in this really limited way. And that is because there's that overlap between these cultural symbols around Halloween and then where they come from with Samhain.
Right. Even though I think, I would guess that a lot of people don't even recognize the fact that there are so many pagan elements.
Yeah, but, just like they don't recognize that, like, what do baby chickies and rabbits have to do with
the resurrection of Christ.
These witches were like messing it up.
Like, when is that?
Resurrection, yeah.
Yeah, the resurrection of Christ. Yeah, they don't understand that. But again, pagan symbols. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think, and what makes it so interesting is that, you know, we have these rituals, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later in the episode. We have these ideas about why this time of the year is so powerful. And those are the parts that I think maybe frightened, you know, other people, mm-hmm. the rest of the community. And so a lot of what we see as Halloween symbols are ways that they're staving off, like, the stuff that we delight
Meanwhile,
in.
Meanwhile, the witches are like, yes, here we go.
Let's do this. And the rest of the village is like, okay, we've got to protect ourselves because all those spirits are wandering around.
Yes, it's like, I'm going to carve this face in this squash or something because that'll stave off evil spirits.
Exactly.
And the witches are like running around like, yeah, woohoo.
Waving their brooms.
I'm going to get to talk to my loved ones. What's up, Grandma?
I know, we're so happy and we're so excited about it, and everyone else is, okay, let's see, how can we protect ourselves? You know, what other things can we do? And no, I think that's a large part of it. But on a certain level, for some people, it's fun too, because stuff that they wouldn't acknowledge during the rest mm-hmm. of the year, this is a chance for them. I mean, I went to Spirit Halloween, which is a local store. I don't know how far flung it is, but and I mean, that place was packed, and people, they weren't just getting costumes. Well, obviously not getting that many costumes, because I guess there's not a whole lot of Halloween parties and stuff, but you know, they were browsing, they were getting their hats and their little faux brooms and, you know, various signs and stuff, but also witchy journals mm-hmm. and things like that. So I think on a certain level, people are enjoying allowing themselves to kind of be outside the box.
I think so too, and I've noticed that people post like witch memes mm. on social media.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like this witch, blah 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 blah. Uh-huh. You know, and then this witch, insert sassy phrase here.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of co-opting the title of witch. Mm-hmm. And this is a side note that we'll mm-hmm. probably talk about later in future episodes. But for the first time, I actually felt a tinge of protection around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, she's not a witch.
What? Like, cultural appropriation.
Yeah, right? Like, you're not a witch 11 other months out of the year. You know, but okay, Leilani, calm down. It's fine. It's good. They're associating witch with a powerful woman, you know, an empowered
yes.
woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think it's the political stuff and
yes.
how mm-hmm. I feel so mm-hmm. much mm-hmm. that my witchiness mm-hmm. is tied into... like a mantle of oppression mm-hmm. of those ancestors before me who've been mm-hmm. oppressed, and how mm-hmm. I need to show up
Yes.
As someone who has been, as someone who can, I need to show up as someone who can support those who are being oppressed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because of my ancestral lineage as a witch.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, and showing up acknowledges them too, right? When you, when we come out, we kind of do that also for people who couldn't, and even today choose not to.
Yes.
Right. So yeah. So we're like, yeah, we'll carry the mantle. We'll be in the advance guard. Yeah. So when we talk about Samhain, for some people, they may not really even know what we're talking about. So let's give like a really quick down and dirty description of how a number of witches, not everyone, but a number of witches might think about Samhain. So one of the things I'd like to start, one of the things about the power of that day. So we're talking about usually the last day, the first day of November is about that time. And because in the old, the way people celebrated days in the past, the day actually started at sundown the night before. So that's kind of where we get October 31st. And it was considered that the veil was super thin between the worlds so that spirits could get very close, so that the spirits of the dead could get very close to the people who were alive. And so one of the things that as witches, a number of us do is to celebrate that and take advantage of that period of time for you know, to maybe commune with those who have gone before. Would you like to add something?
It's like a magical opportunity as the earth, the seasons are turning, the wheels turning, mm-hmm. and things start to die around us. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, that's like a charging this idea of death, mm-hmm. and this idea of going down, mm-hmm. downward, down into the underworld, down mm-hmm. into death. Mm-hmm. The metaphor of the cauldron, mm-hmm. Which is like this idea of this place that we come from and then we return to, mm-hmm. this magical mixing place. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine that as the world is starting to die and mm-hmm. the leaves are turning brown, and that this idea of death is all around us, mm-hmm. and then the veil thins, and the beloved dead who have already crossed are more able to communicate with me. I'm mm-hmm. more able to communicate with them. I'm more able to sense them. They're more able to sense me, and we're able to reconnect. And my connection is with them all year long, but it's just like the bars on your cell phone go up, and it gets clearer.
I love that.
This is a millennial explanation.
Like, I love
Grandma,
that.
My signal is getting stronger. I can hear you better.
Hey, honey.
Yes,
hey,
I'm baby. Eating. Yes.
I love it. I love how you put these things. This is so brilliant.
This is why it's so good for other generations.
Yeah, but we have that sense of, we have that sensation and sense of those who have gone before, which makes us also more aware of just death in general. Another thing that you often see in a number of pagan communities, and I would say at least among the women in our circle, is this this celebration of life and death, meaning that they're all very important, and one is not, you don't privilege life and then you try to avoid death as long as possible. It's just, it's a cycle, right? And you enjoy each one. Hopefully you enjoy each one. I don't know. that's one of the things that they don't tell me when we communicate. But actually, no, I take that back. I was being a little flippant. But there is a sense of peace that I get when I'm really, really still and trying to communicate. And so I love the fact that we are very open to that, right?
Yeah, our witchy idea of death is definitely different mm-hmm. than I would say like our cultural idea of death. And I prefer the witchy idea of death.
Yeah. So one of the things, I don't know if you want to talk about
the song that later on in the show we'll be reading the lyrics from Dance in the Graveyards by Delta mm-hmm. Ray mm-hmm. and you actually were the one that showed the song to me.
Yeah.
But we picked it because it just really embodies this beautiful idea of death, and that death is the bottom of the circle, mm-hmm. that brings us back up the wheel into the top of the circle of life, just like we do all year, you know, all year long. We go mm-hmm. through the cycle of the seasons, mm-hmm. and then we return from winter into spring, which is life coming back. And our cycle, this is what I think, our cycles as humans, as beings on this earth, is the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. So we have that to look forward to. But another thing that I think is so beautiful about some of the practices that we have is that there is almost a sense of recognition that even though these people are dead, that there's still room for them in our hearts and room for them in our lives. And it's not, I sometimes get the feeling with maybe the larger community that, you know, once someone's dead, it's like you mourn them and you're really sad, but it's like a shut off, a cut off. And I think that we don't have that as much. Like you say, at Samhain, we really kind of steep ourselves in it. But throughout the year, I know for a fact that I feel a sense of that. And so so as witches, we kind of celebrate that idea.
And we call our ancestors oftentimes to ritual, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. throughout the year.
Yes.
Especially around this time, but throughout mm-hmm. the year. And I think as a witch, I appreciate that idea that the beloved dead are not that far away.
Yes.
They're always here. October is just way more fun because then my cell phone bars go up and I can hear them better.
And the rest of the culture is not as, they're not as much of, what is it when you can't get the signal because it's blocked, you know, they're kind of relaxing a little bit too. So we don't have as much like a noise on
cultural
the
cultural white noise. Yeah, exactly. Clogging up our systems.
Exactly. So it's like easier, like, hey, can you hear me? You know, that kind of relaxes a little bit, I think, too. And so there's a number of cultures that celebrate this. Like here in San Antonio, we're very much steeped in the Latinx, the Hispanic community. And so Dia de los Muertos is really, really big here. I don't know what's going to happen this year with COVID, but mm-hmm. But it's a big thing. And then obviously, like, there are a number of African cultures that very much celebrate their ancestors. So it's not, I don't want to say that witches are the only ones who do it. I'm just saying that, you know, we're doing it. You know?
We do it awesome.
Yeah, we do it. We do it awesome.
I think that happens. I love seeing it. Mm-hmm. Show up in other cultures, because to me what that tells me is that it's this archetypal truth that life is a cycle, and that I think it's just really artificial the way that our culture separates ourselves from death, you know, puts people in these, we literally separate ourselves from,
put them in boxes,
we put them in like these like cement boxes in the mm-hmm, ground, you know, mm-hmm. And so that's a literal separation of their energy from this cycle, but we are not separated from them, and the beloved dead aren't separated from us.
Yeah. And this is a little bit of an aside, but I just remember participating in, I think they call them natural funerals or something like that. And it's just amazing where they're not embalmed. They don't go anywhere. Like, they stay in their bed and you bathe them and clothe them, and that's the way, I mean, even maybe 80 or 90 years, maybe 100 years ago, depending on where you lived, that's how people handled death. It was, you know, they just put granny out in the front, in the living room, you know, instead of back in the bedroom or whatever, and, you know, dressed her up and bathed her, and people came and sat and had wakes. So I don't mean to say that we're so much better than the dominant culture. I just want to say that we do things that may have gotten lost for a lot of members of the culture.
And the like the dumb supper idea.
Oh yes,
which is like a common mm-hmm. a common witchy pagan tradition. Mm-hmm. Dumb as in
mute.
Mm-hmm. But we might set a table, and then we would invite our beloved dead to sit with us at the table. So they're, if you're picturing this in your mind, you might picture a place setting, and that seemingly no one sits at, and seemingly no one eats the food, but we're holding a space for them, literally, and spiritually and in our hearts for them to come join us.
Right. That's it. And I think we did that last year.
That was
and I thought
last
it was,
year.
Yeah, that was beautiful. And I participated in one years and years ago. We hadn't done that in a while, but you know, just that sitting in silence and allowing, you're not pretending, you're not saying, so Granny, you know, you want another role or whatever, but you know, you're really just sitting there in silence and letting those who wish to come, come, and opening yourself up to the possibility that someone will come and communicate with you. And I love that. I love that idea.
As someone who doesn't sit in a lot of silence.
Is that a millennial thing?
That's an energy witch thing for
me. Okay.
As someone who, like, I am more high energy, mm-hmm. and I don't have an altar. Like, mm-hmm. my house is my altar, kind of, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't really sit a lot. And so I think I miss out some on that. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like my sister hears the beloved dead, like, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, they communicate with her a lot, especially in October. Mm-hmm. So part of me is like, she's way witchier than me because she, like, hears grandma, you know, which is really cool. But I think that having this time of the month with these traditions, like a dumb supper, and or Samhain ritual, whatever we choose, and just setting up, this is the one time of the year I actually set up an altar. It's good for me to be reminded by our witchy culture to stop and listen.
Yes, totally. And yeah, the stop and listen and be still. And it's less about us doing things and us being receptive and allowing, you know, those who wish to come. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. When you were saying about your sister and she hears things and you don't, I just want to remind you of your athlete analogy from last time. You know, that, what is it, a wrestler doesn't think a runner is not an athlete or whatever.
Right.
So you're still a witch.
There's a reason why I have that metaphor in my mind.
Now that you've given it to me, I actually used it with a student, but that's another story for another day.
But I'll likely dance mm-hmm. during our Samhain ritual. Just like the song by Delta Ray, Dance in the Graveyards. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll like, the way
right.
I experience it is
right.
I'll likely dance with the beloved dead.
Me too. Let's talk a little bit about what we do when we talk about where they're working with the communicating with the beloved dead. And shall I start?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I work with the beloved dead, what I'm really trying to do is get wisdom from them. I do two things, actually. One is I just tell them I love them and say that I'm pretty sure you love me. Not to, you know, I try to eye reference, but but since, you know, it may not necessarily be clear. But then I might do something, some sort of divinatory stuff. I'm most comfortable with tarot. And so sometimes I will sit and maybe pull cards. But I think it's the sitting part of it that is the most, is the actual working for me. And the cards are a part of it, but I could probably do it without the cards. They're just they just make the message clearer. So by putting those by sitting and sitting for a long time, and I sometimes I will, when I'm doing this solitary, when I'm doing it at home, I will sometimes sit for 45 minutes before I pull a card. I used to try to do this on Halloween, but and lately, because the kids have grown up in our neighborhood, but it was so hard before because I'd have to wait until after the kids went trick or treating.
Hold on, kids, I'll get your candy. I'm trying to pull cards here.
That's right. Or Betty had sent, I'll send my grandmother out because she liked the Halloween trick-or-treating much better than I did anyway. So I just try to sit in trance, and sometimes I sit there for hours and maybe pull two cards. But I think that that's a real important thing for me. I think I might actually, for our Samhain this year, my solitary Samhain, I might just sit and do a dumb supper. I think that's a beautiful idea.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What about you?
I can't imagine sitting for 45 minutes.
Well, you could dance. I mean, you could, but see, that's the beauty of
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So Samhain is the only time I build an altar.
Oh, yeah.
And I do that in my living room on a table. And I have a lot of scarves. I'm wearing one right now,
mm-hmm.
charging it before it goes on the altar. It's gray with black skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just monotone enough that I feel like I can get away with it at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Not have people looking funny at it. It just kind of looks like a pattern. Mm-hmm. But I'll build an altar, and I tend to sense more. Mm-hmm. It's less of like a formal divinatory practice like tarot or sometimes I like to do something where I can physically touch it, like mm-hmm. more like sugar scrying, like mm-hmm. into a mirror.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
We did that. Mm-hmm. Me and my best friend did that a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. We did some sugar, like sugar skulls and some sugar scrying. But
that's so cool.
I like it. But to me, that's more physical. Like I can hold the sugar and maybe like dance with it and then throw it out, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. or dancing around a fire. I can dance, like, I feel like the fire is my, like, my dance partner, and mm-hmm. we're working, and the beloved dead come into the flames, and they might shape the flames so that I can see something, and then I'll sense, I'm, like, moving my body a lot.
Yeah, I know, I'm seeing you dancing in the chair.
I'm getting all witchy, moving my body. I might sense that they're saying something, and it might not be as clear, and then the flame will leap up, and take a shape, and then I know what, and then it's solidifying what's being told to me. So for me, it's just more of an embodied practice mm-hmm. that has me moving more or less sitting.
But I love that because it's kind of different, so much different from what I do. And I, one of the things you were talking about to the altar, I tend to just pull up the pictures. I have like the sepia tone pictures of my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was when no one smiled, you know, there, and she's holding her purse and has a little hat on and a whole bit. So I'll put pictures of them up. And, one of the things I love to do is to start it a couple of weeks in advance. Like I should really be doing it now. And so that every time I walk by it, I start dropping. And so the idea of, like you were saying, you get messages about rituals far mm-hmm. in advance, that I start hearing them before. And I sometimes feel a little conflicted about it because I'm pretty sure some of them would not approve of my being a witch. But I just try to because there are some very Christian elements where they feel like as if their beloved dead are angels or whatever. So I just try to couch it in that way. So in a way, I kind of filter my opening up to them, so that they can come to me in a way that's comfortable for them. But mainly my altar, it's not very decorative. It's really just a bunch of pictures. I mean, no, stop.
I'm rolling my eyes. I'm looking at her one of her two altars that I know of right now, and it's beautiful. There's a beautiful cloth on it. There's candles and stones.
But what will probably be there the next time you come will be something like your scarf, you know, so it'll be, you know, maybe monotone or whatever, and it'll be just a lot of pictures. And then things like a couple of years ago, the year my mother died, I had packets. They're really disgusting. Well, unless you really like them, sorry. packets of whiskey sour mix.
You're throwing some shade.
Sorry about that, people. Those of you who love that stuff. Anyway, so I had like, I put a bottle of whiskey and little packets of whiskey sour mix because that's what, that was her.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I put out, for my grandma, I have a picture. She's the ancestor I work with. Mm-hmm. My blood ancestor mm-hmm. that I work with. There are other types of ancestors, like through other types of lineage, like my witch ancestors. But for her, I put out this picture of, her hand, my sister's hand, like it's all of our hands.
Oh my gosh. That's gorgeous.
I love it. Yeah. So I put, and that's black and white because mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of black and white mm-hmm. and I don't wear a lot of color. I'm sitting here in a black and white with a gray scarf to add something. I'll put that out. This gray scarf with the black skulls mm-hmm. will be out. And I have I have a roll of dimes from my grandfather that he gave me. He would always give us rolls of like quarters or whatever. I just happened to have an uncracked open roll of dimes. And so that will go out.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
Just
that's
objects that remind me of them. Mm-hmm. Cause for me, it's a physical experience of seeing them, which I think of them all year long, but right. For Samhain, I see them and then I might touch the roll of dimes, you know?
Right.
And then
right.
it becomes a more physical experience for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I can, so, I mean, it sounds like, you know, with being so much in your body with dancing and things like that, that the sensation of touch has to be pretty powerful for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. One Samhain ritual, this wasn't too long ago, but we were doing ritual, my sister and I were mm-hmm. in my house. We had some other people over And our grandma actually ended up like knocking a picture frame over at a certain point in the ritual. And part of me was like, grandma, cool. Like, no, you're here. The other part of me was like, don't break that frame because I really love that frame and I really love your picture in that frame. Could you knock over something that's not breakable?
I know, like really, really, or that I don't care about.
But beggars can't be choosers.
Yes. Glad you're here.
Love and dead are going to knock something over. I'm like, that's cool.
Glad you're here. Next time you know to give her a little bit more room.
Exactly.
Oh, that's too funny. So let me ask you this, because I know in our community, we do a ritual usually about a couple of weeks in advance of the mm-hmm. actual day, but it sounds like you do something. Is this with your family or your?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So my biological sister mm-hmm. is, she's a member of our group mm-hmm. And her daughter is interested in this sort of thing. She's coming of age. Mm-hmm. So we normally, we do something Halloween every year mm-hmm. where I would have to say, I'm yes. going to get like a little bit up on my soapbox. I would have to say that we're known in our neighborhood mm-hmm, as mm-hmm. having awesome Halloween decorations and interaction. Mm-hmm. We treat Halloween like a stage set. And yeah. so we, this year for COVID, we're doing Angry Birds. we're building an Angry Birds set. Mm-hmm. And then my sister purchased a slingshot, a giant slingshot. That, you know, two people hold and then a third person pulls it back and slingshots it like for water balloons or whatever.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you're not putting a person
we
in there.
We are not
okay,
putting a person, okay. but we did okay. Put like candy in bags. So oh, okay, then we'll okay. launch the candy in bags to people.
And pray you don't like brain them?
I mean, it's a danger zone.
Let him walk it off. He'll be
That's
fine.
Right.
He'll be fine.
Halloween doesn't come without its risk. That one doesn't come without its risk. So every year we do something like that.
Mom, let me go again. Oh, she missed me.
So we have, we're all dressing up as different birds. We mm-hmm. have like, we have music going, like mm-hmm. an Angry Bird soundtrack. And then we have like a set that we build to look like the boxes and things
yes,
like that.
That's so cool.
So we always do something like that every year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether it be like we did Hocus Pocus one year.
Yes, I remember.
This year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then after that, if it's a Friday or a Saturday night, I likely will go to the club.
Not this year.
Not though. This year. Yeah. I'm so sad.
I know.
But I would likely go to a club and I would dance.
Dress.
And have some, yes, in costume, yeah. but I would have some holy sacred thud thud. Boom, 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 you know, and then get my trance on.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, like commune with the beloved dead mm-hmm, mm-hmm. around a couple thousand of my closest friends under the lights and smoke and trance out.
I love
but,
it.
But if it's not on a week and mm-hmm. night, mm-hmm. I likely have ritual with my mm-hmm. either my family or friends. You know, this year I'm not sure how it'll work because yeah. of COVID. I'm not sure how many of our witchy sisters will feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to do a bonfire out in the backyard. Mm-hmm. So I think that I feel like that's one way that if other people are outside doing stuff, that's probably what they're doing. So I can kind of participate in the circle of, you know, witches who are like, help us, please, help us. We've got to do something, you know. So our poem is actually the lyrics for a song by a group called Delta Ray. And I just wanted to give a little bit of background about them because I love this group. I discovered them at AC Austin City Limits, the big music festival that's actually being held kind of Zoom-like this week, and I'm just too depressed to actually even attend it. Or this past weekend, anyway. It's held in October every year, and I would say maybe 8 or 9 years ago, I went and I heard them. This was not one of the groups that I knew about, but in looking at the schedule, I listened to a little bit of them on YouTube or something like that and thought, okay, that'd be pretty interesting. Anyway, this group was so freaking phenomenal that about 15 minutes into their set, I was on my phone on Amazon ordering the CD. this is like before Spotify and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, they are just incredible. So some people would consider them like either not, it sounds kind of country, but it really isn't, more vocal harmony, but they're very, it's two brothers and a sister and then another singer. And then they're instrumentalists. The two brothers, they both play, I think, piano and guitar. And then the sister sings, and then they have another singer who is actually their lead female singer. Well, they share the leads. And their vocal harmony is so incredible. I'll play a little bit of it sometime during in the next 15 minutes. I'm not sure. We'll figure this out. But anyway, I'll play a little bit of it because they're just incredible. And we will also put links to some of their YouTube videos, particularly the one that we're going to sing, and maybe to their website or their Instagram or something. Because I think this is a group that everyone should hear at least once and decide whether they're really their jam or not. But I think they're just incredible.
But they really embody this witchy... I don't know if they're witches or not, mm-hmm. you know, but they really embody this witchy sense of death in this song, Dance in the Graveyards.
Oh my gosh.
In a way that makes me think, I wonder what the backstory is of the song, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And so you were the one that showed me this mm-hmm. song. Mm-hmm. I had never heard it before. Mm-hmm. It's not my normal mm-hmm. type of pop or techno or EDM, you know? So this like folky style of song is not what I normally listen to. So you showed it to me and I just... how many times have I watched the music video, listened to the song since then? A million. And we're sitting here getting ready to start recording the episode and I turned it on and you walked into the living room where I'm sitting and I'm just like crying.
Because it's just that gore. It's beautiful and it's moving. And, you know, not to spoil it, because we really do want you to go see the video. I mean, the song is glorious by itself, but this video is just, it just knocks it out of the ballpark. And so I highly, highly, highly recommend you see this. It's just gorgeous. And the last few minutes of it, my heart is clenched and then it expands and then it clenches and it expands and it expands and it expands and it expands. So it's an incredible one. So what we're going to do is just read the lyrics, but the song itself is magnificent.
When I die, the lyrics say that like I don't want to rest in peace. Mm-hmm. I want to dance in the graveyards. Mm-hmm. I want to be dancing in the mm-hmm. graveyards.
Yes,
you know, and I want to when I cross over, I want to be dancing with my loved ones. On this side and on the other side of the veil with those who have crossed before me. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the song and the lyrics really capture this idea that they're not gone.
They're not gone.
They're here with us and that they want to stay connected to us just like we want to stay connected to them.
And there's nothing, and the fact that there's nothing wrong with that. It's not, they're not ghosts that can't move on. Mm-hmm. We're not holding on to them in a sick way. It's just acknowledging the fact that they really aren't gone, people. I mean, you know, you can say that they may not physically be embodied on this earth, but they are not gone. And so it's just an acknowledgement of that. And it's just beautiful to see people living that reality. As we said, we're going to be reading the lyrics for the Delta Ray song, Dance in the Graveyards. When I die, I don't want to rest in peace. I want to dance in joy. I want to dance in the graveyards, the graveyards.
And while I'm alive, I don't want to be alone, mourning the ones who came before. I want to dance with them some more. Let's dance in the graveyards.
Gloria, like some other name, we kept on calling you and waiting for change. But I belong to all of your mysteries.
And all of us, we're meant for the fire. But we keep rising up and walking the wire, so when we go below, don't lose us in mourning.
When I die, I don't want to rest in peace. I want to dance in joy. I want to dance in the graveyards, the graveyards.
And while I'm alive, I don't want to be alone, mourning the ones who came before. I want to dance with them some more. Let's dance in the graveyards. Oh, my love, don't cry when I'm gone. I will lift you up, the air in your lungs.
And when you reach for me, we'll dance in the darkness.
And we will walk beyond.
Our daughters and sons, they will carry on.
Like when we were young, and we will stand beside and breathe in their new life.
When I die, I don't want to rest in peace. I want to dance in joy. I want to dance in the graveyards, the graveyards.
And while I'm alive, I don't want to be alone. Mourning the ones who've come before. I want to dance with them some more. Let's dance in the graveyards.
dancing joy. I want to dance in the graveyards, and while I'm alive, I don't want to be alone, mourning the ones who came before. I want to dance with them some more. Let's dance in the graveyards.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. It's very close to my heart being able to talk about these special times of the year for us, and we're glad you could join, and we hope that we've given you a little bit of insight, not only into how we think about this, but just something to sensitize you, so the next time you see some of these things, you're just a little bit more aware of them.
Our episodes come out every second and fourth Friday of the month, so you can be looking forward to that. Our next episode is about coming out of the broom closet. And so that's just all about what it's like to come out as a witch, or the process of coming out as a witch to family and other people. One way that you can know whenever we're releasing new episodes is to follow us on social media. You can also like us on whatever platform you get your podcast at. And another thing that would be really helpful is to help other people find our podcast is to rate us and review us on the platform of your choice. That way other people can find their way to us.
And finally, regardless of your political bent or what you think about what our country right now, the best way to get your voice heard, one of the ways to get your voice heard, is to vote. So we're encouraging you to get out there, if you haven't done it already, to get out there and vote.
Go vote, y'all.
Go vote, y'all.
We hope you've enjoyed the magic that has unfolded here at Witchy Wit.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Witchy Wit Podcast.
Email us at witchywit123@gmail.com. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get exclusive content and support us on Patreon.
Stay witchy, y'all.